to power a program for billions of people, there must be some business value behind it. But we kind of approached it from human first. So what, you know, what do people want? People want to live better. People want to live longer. We want that too. We want them to improve their risk, be proactive.
Welcome to the Insurance Innovators Unscripted, the show dedicated to innovation in the insurance industry. Each episode, you'll get a dose of thought leadership from the industry's top business minds, influencers, innovators, and executive leaders. If you want to transform your corner of the industry and exchange innovative ideas, you need to subscribe to this podcast. Now here's your host, Abel Travis.
Hey everyone, welcome to the Insurance Innovators Unscripted podcast dedicated to insurance innovation. So really quickly, before we jump into this topic and to speaking to the guest that's going to be on the podcast here today, I want you to take a quick moment. If this is your first time listening, whatever platform you're using, hit the subscribe button, and that way you'll get access to the episodes every time they're released, every Thursday. You know, there's been so many different topics that we've been covering on this podcast, whether it's marine insurance, you know, covering regions from the Middle East, Africa, you know, Europe, and a bunch of other places. And the whole goal is to try to spur a difference in the way that you all are thinking about innovation and transformation in the insurance industry. You know, we know that innovation and transformation is happening not only domestically, but it's happening, you know, internationally. So, you know, it's there's a lot to consider as we're thinking through the discussions that's being had here with the guests today and my guests over time. So, you know, I'm hopeful that as listeners, you all are getting a lot out of what we're talking about here in the podcast. So before we jump in, I want to recognize the sponsor. And this organization has been a sponsor of the podcast almost from the beginning. So, you know, I do want to say thank you to our sponsor, and that's Vortex Legal. Innovation in the insurance field is exciting, and Vortex Legal is a unique and proven solution to help improve a company's loss ratio by substantially reducing legal expenses. Their nationwide network of local attorneys attend the voluminous and routine and predictable hearings for a flat rate, not an hourly rate. So Vortex Legal's solution works with both staff counsel offices as well as outside law firms. They've saved many carriers millions of dollars. So if you want to learn more, just contact Jonathan Broder at 954-473-2648 or visit vortexlegal.com. So today I'm speaking with Jane Wang, the Chief Executive Officer of Optimity, an AI-driven digital platform that helps insurers engage their policyholders via branded lifestyle mobile experiences. Jane, I want to say welcome to the podcast. It's a pleasure to have you here.
Yes, I'm happy to be speaking with you again, Abel.
Hey, so Jane, you know, Optimity is truly leading in the health space, but you know, before we get into what Optimity's value proposition is, you know, talk to me about your background and, you know, your history in both the health, life, and insurance space.
Yeah, sure. So, I mean, I come from research, clinical research to be exact. I worked on proactive prevention of death in HIV, ovarian cancer, and multiple sclerosis trials globally, so in Europe, Japan, and North America. I focused on early detection, so medication adherence, statistical flagging, using software algorithms. So we were going through, you know, blood labs, MRI results, patient health surveys to find and triage patients to prevent death. And about 7 years ago, I started being obsessed with kind of the proactive approach myself, using technology. So as one person, we can now use this, you know, what is already available really kind of in the clinical research setting, but for not just thousands of people, but for billions of people. And there's this huge world of insurance, right? Insure tech that's also blowing up over the last few years. So that's where I kind of found a really great win-win situation working with carriers who are also interested in improving longevity using the proactive approach.
So I completely get that. So now, if you don't mind, you know, just talk to me and the audience about exactly what Optimity is, and also, you know, what's the value proposition of your company for the industries that you work and partner with?
Yeah, so We make software, although it has lots of technical layers that we deal with. For the user, it's very quite simple. They can access it through a mobile first, so they can download it as a mobile app. The app itself makes micro adjustments, so small adjustments to your routine that helps you live healthier and longer lives, and it's incentivized, and it kind of tracks how you're feeling and a bunch of different metrics through health risk assessments. Using AI, we're discovering and basically using human patterns that we're learning in early detection, adherence, and statistics. So this is to support kind of average people, so not just patients before they get sick. We started really the company to serve not the super fit, not the marathon runners, the people who are already out there and tracking themselves, but as a tool for average folks, maybe you and I, people who are really busy, who are working, and who are really, in a place where they're fighting for time for themselves. So we have several applications of AI where it helps with three major things. One is to, really do more of the healthy things that you love. Two is really to kind of discover more about yourself. So this is where we give you insights and understanding what type of person you are, everything from your like personality to your tendencies, to discover more about yourself and your own bad habits and good habits. And then the last thing is really to connect to a community of health and stay engaged throughout your whole life journey on being, your optimal self. So optimity is actually a dictionary word. I don't know if you know that. It means a state of being best. So our mission is to vow to keep you at your optimal state for as long as you live.
I think that's a huge mission, and to hear that you wanted to impact billions of people, right? To sort of impact the health around billions of people, I think it's a mission that truly is commendable. Now, Jane, you mentioned that you're leveraging AI to drive some of the micro adjustments to the routine and in other areas of what you all are doing as a part of your value proposition in regards to your platform. Now, I know a lot of the listeners understand AI and machine learning, but if you don't mind, just talk to the audience about what exactly AI is and how specifically it's being leveraged within your platform to drive the direction of these micro adjustments that you're proposing to some of the users of these platforms.
So I think it's important that we discuss AI. So I'll unpack that a little bit, but later on we should also discuss engagement, which is people actually using just similar to medication adherence. Just because you have good medication is not enough. So AI kind of takes care of the good medication part, but having people actually take the medication is the really important part. So we'll talk about engagement a little bit later. So if we unpack the AI part of what we do, firstly, I want to share that we're not building like a robot doctor. We're not building this this crazy thing that's kind of telling you what symptoms you have and all the different things. That's not what we're building. What we're actually building is more like a non-judgmental, super smart, insightful, like assistant and companion. It has three main functions as well. The first thing is it'll help you collect and journal information that you volunteer. Have a better pulse, more mindful about what you're experiencing, what you're eating, how you're sleeping, all these different things. The second part is that it helps recommend activities that brings you joy and health. So this is based on your stated preferences and past behaviors, and also the choices by those similar to you in terms of persona. So age, sex, demographic, as well as job function, actually. So, and then the third function is to help you make connections to that you and us have never seen before, because that's where AI, because it can compute. We're basically using the raw horsepower to start computing some of the correlations and to help you find some insights that improve your health and quality of life. So, for example, it'll note that you seem happiest when you have slept X amount of time and you've been at this place or whatever it is. So it'll make some interesting insights for you, and then you can perhaps adjust your habits accordingly.
So, you know, just again, just thinking about the platform and what you all sort of laid out in regards to, you know, what you just mentioned about AI and how that's being used. You know, now when you're sort of laying out that vision and the plan for the individual that's using it, one of the things that you mentioned is the fact that, you know, you want to get them to do more of the things that are healthy for them. That's going to help to get them to be more healthy within their lifestyles. You know, so just thinking about it from that perspective, now as these things are being recommended, how do you ensure that the customers or the users that are leveraging your platform are actually doing the things that's being recommended and are participating and engaging in the recommendations that are coming out of your application?
The engagement part, really, we rely heavily on behavioral economics as well as gamification. So one of our early investors, our angel investors, is actually the co-founder of BioWare. For those of you who are big gamers like myself, I mean, they made the Bio, the Star Wars games. They got acquired by EA Games. I mean, the Ray, who's our investor, he's also an emergency physician himself. So we're really kind of combining what the best in practice, you know, gamification practices are in helping people get that immediate hit. You know, you're getting that, you're basically taking something that, you know, maybe if you start working out now, it'll take you a long time to realize and to see the effects. You're giving them the dopamine hit that will affect them right away and giving them a comeback. So, for example, every single activity that you do will give you specific points back. The points themselves are already related to tangible rewards. So these could be gift cards at lots of places that you already naturally shop. We find that, you know, gas cards and Amazon cards and even those at Starbucks are very popular. And then on top of that, people are very interested. So rewards, believe it or not, is actually not our top driver for user engagement, especially. It may be the top driver if you ask the user within the first 1 or 2 days of, you know, using the app. But what we actually see in our research is after the first week or after even like a month or 2 months, this is where usually when people buy, you know, a Fitbit or a wearable, they kind of start forgetting to charge it, forgetting to wear it and things like that. We're actually seeing people are very interested in self-discovery. They're interested in the sense of progression. So we have lots of checklists, challenges, and people love the sense of progression that they get through it. And then they love the insights. So the weekly reports that they get back about themselves and being able to connect with others that have similar types of experiences, I think it's also a really important factor in staying engaged over a longer period of time. And you see that it's the same patterns that you see in clinical research too, right? In patient groups as well. So this is just a very human part of what we do. And I think making it a lot of fun, making it more game-like, brings my team a lot of joy, but it also brings our members, our users, lots of usage as well.
Yeah, I could imagine, you know, that the gamification element of what you all are doing and in order to try to keep the users engaged would be something that's going to continue to drive a high level of engagement and participation through leveraging your application. Now, you know, when I look across the industry, you know, for organizations that are hoping to engage users beyond where they're at, beyond a threshold that they're at right now, what I recognize is that they struggle to increase usage. But with you all, you're bucking that trend. So would you say then that the value around the gamification and engagement and gamification and rewards and other things it's what's helping you buck that trend, as well as you know, just changing the way people feel after they do the activities that's being suggested out of your application? Would you say that that's what's driving this high utilization rate of your product?
I think partially. I think the answer is partial. I think with gamification, there's also this other tension factor that we consider, which is convenience. So some of the most popular and sticky applications that you have, you don't even think of them as applications. They're more utilities. So it's things like calendar. I'm sure you're as addicted to your calendar as I am. Email. Email is one of the most addictive products out there. Text message. So it's almost really thinking about, I mean, you want to be fun while people are actively engaging with it, but on the back end, you want to almost disappear into their everyday life. So I think part of what we're doing on engagement as well is hitting that part. I do see Optimity one day being, you know, integrated directly into, I mean, there's people that are doing this already, interacting through Alexa and things like that. But I think the more invisible you are to some aspects of their lives, the better it is. So that's also kind of a key factor in creating that sustained usage.
Absolutely. So I have this thing about, removing the friction out of folks being able to leverage a product, a service, whatever it may be, right? And in all honesty, I think to the point that you made, the invisibility aspect of your product as well as others, which completely removes the friction from a user being able to use it, because they may be using it but not even recognizing it for what it is because they're so engaged with it. I agree that I think that does drive a higher level of engagement. You know, I have this firm belief around the future of the insurance industry specifically, and that belief is that, you know, for the more commoditized lines and the more commoditized product types, those products are going to be more successful as they become more in this ecosystem environment, right? So you know, taking them and then sort of plugging it into an ecosystem where the users or the policyholders may be doing, let's say, three other things in our ecosystem, where then insurance is just a part of what's being provided to them, right? So in essence, then it's being made somewhat ubiquitous in terms of what they're gaining and what they're getting out of this. You know, so as I think about what you all are doing, I could clearly see the applications, you know, for life, health, and other areas within the insurance space. But, you know, I'd like to get your perspective, you know, so just talk to me about, you know, what types of organizations you tend to work with, and the organization types where you tend to have the most success around operationalizing your product, and then also engagement with the end users of your product.
I think generally in the way that we work with carriers, there's two types. One is really purely almost for marketing, which is weirdly obvious, but quite novel. So we're actually used as a lead magnet. So with carriers, we're that engagement platform, add value to their members. And I think because the fact that Vitality has been on the market for a while, people think of this as, oh, this is for someone once they buy a new policy, then it goes with them. And I can tell you that Optimity is not structured that way. We're actually structured to be viral, virality, right? Which is such an interesting concept that's very well known in the game industry, right? But it's not well known in insurance, because with virality, what you're doing is you're in turn generating leads, referrals, loyalty, sales, all in a free, very free and very powerful way. So we kind of see ourselves as the opposite of advertising or cold calling or direct mailing. We work in these type of engagements directly with the head of marketing, usually giving them a really different tool in their toolkit, because I think a lot of them have been exploring digital ads for the last few years and not getting a lot of results out of, you know, Facebook ads or Google ads, you know, or if you build a direct buy website, you build it, they will not come. So how do you get your members to a level, not only that their NPS is not horrible, but get them to a level where they're actually champions for you? And that's where advocacy marketing is part of this. And I mean, it's well known in a bunch of other industries such as retail. It's very well known in gaming, but it's not used at all in insurance. And I think for the first time, something that we thought was so natural, and we have always built it within the platform. So you can actually, when you get into the platform, you can give peer recognition to people around you, your colleagues, your friends, your family, on great things that they do, great habits that they have. It's really kind of generating a new set of data, right? We're getting a new set of data that carriers and insurers never had before, but it also brings in new leads and referrals. And right now, for every paid member, they're bringing in, you know, anywhere between 0.7 to one. We've seen it done like really well, like 25 leads per engaged member, and that is an insane amount. Right now zero, right? Right now, none of the policyholders actually, or we don't track what additional people that they bring into that carrier.
Yeah, I like the concept that you mentioned about virality, right? You know, and as I you know, dig a little bit deeper into that, what I could envision, and you could correct me if I'm wrong, but what I would envision is the fact that as you start to engage with, let's say, the policyholders of some of the carriers that you're working with, and you know, trying to, you know, enable the virality piece of this, I think that for those particular policyholders, that long term, what you may wind up finding, because they're so engaged, is that those policyholders may wind up sticking with the carriers that are leveraging your application. Now, you know, with that said, you know, carriers don't tend to touch their policyholders, whether it's P&C, whether it's health, that often. It's typically, you know, when a policy is being paid, or if there's a claim in any space, right? And that's when carriers tend to engage with their, you know, customers, policyholders, whatever you want to call them, right? So when you add another element and another flavor that's going to help that along its way and help the carrier touch that individual multiple times, all of a sudden that individual is seeing more value coming from that policy, from that carrier. So, you know, are you also seeing that with your product, that because you're providing the carrier another way to these customers, that they're beginning to be more longer term customers for some of these carriers?
Yeah, so persistency is one of the important factors that we track. That's really, really important to profitability as well. And then the secondary factor to this, which is our original purpose of starting Optimity, which is really improve health risk, right, across the whole pool. That we have, in life insurance, it takes a long time to measure that. So what we've done is actually, because we started as a kind of the wellness general kind of health risk company, we do have a number of direct clients that buy Optimity for, our corporate wellness offering, especially in Canada. And we have also a really interesting segment, in the US, in the mid market as well. And what we're finding is that we did a study with one of the carriers in 2016, and what we were doing, and this may be really interesting to you since we were talking about AI earlier, we were doing some supervised learning type of techniques. So where X kind of is a labeled information that we have currently on underwriting or health risk assessments, and then Y is claims. And then based on the relative, you know, this is a pretty relatively manageable data set of points. We were able to create profiles and personas that kind of is appropriate for different types of, basically we're focusing on high cost areas. So for example, we were looking at a reduction of claims for some of the biologics. We were looking at short-term disability, and we were looking at drug use, right? Which is coming back to my medication type of a study background. So what we were doing is that we were looking at which segments of people are more likely to go on, you know, short-term disability. And the tools basically we were using for AI was like support vector machine. We were using random forest. But what becomes very more exciting for me personally is kind of the impact that we're actually, when we were doing these type of more quantitative assessments, and we were finding with, so there's a company in Canada called Canadian Scholarship Trust, we were able to prove that we were saving them $331 per employee on just their drug claims. And those are mostly related to back pain due to people not adhering to their back exercises. So what made me really more excited about this is that people were actually more engaged and adherent to their back exercises and doing the things that they're supposed to do when we applied these basically learnings, these very basic AI models to our recommendation engine.
I think that's amazing. You know, what I see is the value not only to the person, right? Of course, because if they're doing sort of the regimen that was laid out, they're most likely going to be expected to get better much more quickly. And as you think about this, let's take it, let's say, from a workers' compensation perspective within the industry. You know, the goal is to make sure that these workers or the injured workers can be up and running and in good health to get back to work at some point in time, if you know their health allows them to do that. So you know, following the regimen it's somewhat key to helping them get back to that point. But the other thing that's pretty impressive is the fact that, you know, as you start to engage with them, you know, following that you are able to save some of these organizations a significant amount of funding as well, to then deploy into the right places to help from a care perspective with some of these workers or to do other things with, you know. So that is absolutely an outstanding sort of use case around deploying a technology like yours, and then the value that's going to come from the deployment of those particular technology, you know. So I just thinking about this, you know, on this podcast we talk a lot about innovation and insurance innovation, and you know, as people start to listen to what we're hearing or what we're talking about today, you know, really hoping to help them get an understanding of things that they can do, you know, to apply to their day to day as they're working within the industry. Now, you know, as I think about the lifespan of Optimity, you know, you all have grown from a few years ago from a small organization to one that's been working with and engaging with a lot of other either carriers or other types of organizations to leverage your product. You know, so if you don't mind, just talk to me about what's been some of the biggest challenges and roadblocks as you launched your product back in the beginning, but also as you began to operationalize your product through your partners.
Yeah, I think we were fortunate in that when we were explaining what we're doing, everybody gets it. Because I think we've been at conferences from various parts of the company. Like sometimes, you know, even if they're not the ultimate buyer, I think the carriers or the companies, the people, like every health is every person problem. So I think people are very willing to put us in touch with the right people. And often we end up meeting like many departments, many executives to demonstrate a bigger vision, which I think is why it makes us really, like we work better with sometimes, like companies that have multiple stakeholders, I would say, where usually that slows down a cycle. I think for us, actually, it's been really helpful because this is everyone's, you know, top of mind talking about policyholder engagement, and I think it's useful for every department, right? So we talk about persistency, we talk about sales, we talk about marketing, we talk about risk. So before we narrow down kind of the focus, like I think the biggest challenge is kind of narrowing the focus of the pilot for short-term deliverables. And I think that's where that took a lot of practice. I think originally the first few projects we did, they were very, we often look for attitude. So we look for the attitude within the company. People have asked me, you know, in my opinion, what's an ideal client? Is it like PNC, life, like mutual, public, all this stuff? I don't know. I think, you know, we're still a startup, but like the ideal client is someone who can launch a project right in this next quarter and also pay for it. I think that's usually the ideal situation, because lots of people, when you talk about very forward thinking ideas, it becomes a science project. It's not practical. But having said that, I think we found the ability to use Optimity to like cross sell is very powerful. So many company with multiple lines of business, such as PNC, get more value from it because, you know, you're then able to kind of leverage a bigger pool of people to kind of seed this virality, to seed this group, to seed it with data that we can then use to start classifying and then being able to, you know, identify who are your best customers for a particular set. But I think for me is really kind of learning about the management mindset and the readiness to kind of launch projects and their internal, you know, the fact that whether or not they already have a dedicated resource, a budget to pilot and also grow a program. I think that's the biggest challenge.
Yeah, I would have to agree with you on that. You know, I've seen a lot of organizations where they're, you know, may have, let's say, a program that's dedicated to innovation and, you know, to taking products like yours and really operationalizing it within their own value chain. But unfortunately, you know, what I've seen out of some of these programs is the fact that it gets caught in the bureaucracy of that particular organization. And then when that happens, you know, even with at points within a dedicated, with there being a dedicated resource, as it gets caught within the bureaucracy, it may not be within that quarter. It may be a significant amount of time before that product is launched, or it may be something that dies on the vine, you know. So so I can completely, you know, understand, you know, really wanting to engage with organizations that are looking to operationalize it within the next quarter. But I think the most important thing is with those organizations getting a core understanding of what that's going to mean to their own value chain and to their position within their organizations. You know, so to your point, you know, as you begin to engage more with organizations that have maybe a multi-line perspective or have multiple products, that enables that cross-selling element, which, you know, as you push forward, you know, can help to bring in either new customer types or different business types to that carrier from customers way that where they may not hold the entire policy. So, you know, I think that what you all have designed and the way that you're going about tackling it is being done in a way that's going to assist carriers in creating that stickiness, I guess, of their policyholders and being able to grow their portfolio from a revenue perspective more significantly than they may have in other areas. You know, so Jane, you know, I you know, really want to just talk about, you know, your approach to innovation. You know, as I talk to you, I hear this level of passion around what you're doing and around why you're partnering with insurance organizations or other organizations, you know, but more from the perspective of you know, looking at it through innovating the insurance industry or innovating the taking a view, a lens of innovation. So, you know, what inspires your approach specifically to innovation?
We want to do something. I mean, I started this as something that I want to benefit kind of humankind, right? So we started at doing this business, not really to make money, but you definitely need to make the business like great, you know, it needs to operate properly and it needs to have specific values and outcomes. But in order to achieve something, you know, it must make, the machine must work. So when I started this, I didn't start right away. It took me some time to put together a big enough, a complete enough vision that will help power this free program for billions of people, right? To power a program for billions of people, there must be some business value behind it. But we kind of approached it from human first. So what, you know, what do people want? People want to live better. People want to live longer. We want that too. We want them to improve their risk, be proactive. We don't want to catch them too late. And so we started on kind of building the technical part of it. And then throughout our time, because our you know, this is such a wide human issue, I feel like this, you know, by being broad enough in the technology that we created, we were able to then be very open-minded when we heard about people's business problems. So when we first started, we heard about high claims, right? High claims in short-term, long-term disability. We had a number of companies that we were working with here that had their SCD, LTD double over the last 5 years. So, and that's like not supportable. So we were thinking, oh, okay, how can we use this to reduce the number of claims there? But then we realized that there's still a pretty big disconnect between the data that we're collecting on, you know, everything, because you start with like steps, you start with all these different very light information. You can't get to these kind of deeper problems right away. So we started listening to others, and we were hearing problems within group insurance, and within the problems within group insurance, we heard about, oh, I mean, people know that the highest issues were musculoskeletal, they were back pain. People knew the highest issues were diabetes, but then it gets really specific, and then people are creating these really wonderful tools for diabetes management, but But what about proactive, right? They're not really catching. I mean, there's now programs for pre-diabetes, but even the people who are doing pre-diabetes, that's when you know that, that's already an event. You need to catch people in their, right, like 20s, 30s who doesn't even know that when they're drinking like orange juice, there's so much sugar in there, right? So you need to find like people earlier. So when we started, I guess putting all the pieces together, you should have seen the diagram that me and my co-founders, we wrote this 5 years ago before we even started the business. We had this diagram on how everyone could work together and how the whole ecosystem could work. And we just started working backwards. And then really until like 2 years ago is when something clicked really with the life insurance side, where we noticed that there was very perfect alignment. It's with longevity, perfect alignment with our mission. And we understood that the immediate problem is actually engagement. The immediate problem is the protection gap, and then two, that the salespeople are, you know, the average age is high 50s, and you're not relevant to the modern 20, 30, 40-year-olds who really need life insurance, right? Who are, you know, preparing for their first kid, they're just having, and they all have these life events that we could help with. So that's kind of, I mean, a long-winded answer for how we kind of started, what's the overall vision. And I think that's many startups they're tackling different niches of the problem. But for us, we were lucky that we started at a time where there were already, I stand on the shoulder of giants. There were, you know, Apple was making all their health available, like all their data available through API. Google was doing the same thing. Fitbit, like all these different wearables were doing it. We had all these AI, they were market ready. They were no longer science projects. We could actually put them into here. We had just everything was right. So I think that's why right now, I think over the next 2 to 5 years is where you're going to see this huge leap forward for how insurance companies can really make an impact directly on their policyholders, on their customers.
Absolutely. And to the point that you made in regards to the data component, the data piece, I can tell you that even a couple of years ago, a lot of the larger insurance organizations were still being very, very protective of their data and did not want to share, even if it was going to mean something that was going to be beneficial to the policyholder or to the insurance organization on its own. As you start to look at organizations that are making the data available through either an open API or whatever it may be, like an Apple or, a Fitbit or some of those other organizations, I think what that does is it enables organizations or companies like yours to then, you know, overlay your own view and visualization of that data to create a product or a service that's going to be helpful to the users and to create one that truly is going to be innovative for the industry. I do want to go back to something that you mentioned earlier in regards to, someone in their 20s or 30s that might, you know, drink orange juice and not realizing that by the time they hit their late 40s or 50s, that might be a high contributor to diabetes, right? You know, I think, putting things like that in the forefront, like you're doing with your product, it can help people see the cause and then the effect of what's coming from the actions that they're taking over time, especially if that, using that example, it's something that's being done daily. So, the daily drinking of this with as much sugar that's in it, which, the effect of drinking that on your body is going to be the potential to have health issues, whether it's diabetes or something else. So, with you all putting that in the forefront, I think that that's also, and you probably have the data already around this, but that's something that's that's driving the engagement, you know, as people are becoming more aware of their health and what actions are that they're taking that's going to have impact to their health long term. You know, so so Jane, I had the opportunity a few weeks ago or, you know, just to talk to you and some of your team members at an event in Boston. And what came across so strongly was the fact that you all really embraced transforming the industry, but then also had this keen spirit of innovation. So I guess I'd like to ask you, you know, because you all exemplify that innovation mindset, you know, what is it that you all do to make sure that you keep that spirit of innovation across your team?
Deep personal drive. I guess it's our secret. Yeah, I actually think it's because we all suffered a little bit. So I mean it's always hard to share, but I want to talk to you a little bit about why we started this business, why I started obsessing about it 7 years ago. And it was actually because while I was working on proactive prevention of death for thousands of people, I got a phone call from the hospital in Ottawa, and they told me that my mom had late stage cancer. And I actually literally laughed on the phone because I was I didn't believe them, because she was 50 at the time, and I worked in MRI, and my partner at the time was a physician, and we saw her very often, and we thought she was fine. I mean, she was tired, she was going through menopause, it was fine, but like she definitely like she had an MRI done, she was fine. And then physician actually said, "Hey Jane, like I know you work with Dr. Lee, who's a hematologist on my research team. She's like, I'm gonna send over the blood labs. Your mom has leukemia." And then it just like, I saw the labs and they were right. And I spent then 6 months with my mom at the hospital. She went through three rounds of chemo and then she passed away. And she was 51 at the time. And I just, I mean, I didn't want to go back to work anymore, right? I didn't want to go back to work. I'm like, well, if I'm working so hard and preventing, right, I'm working on these thousands of people, how come I can't protect those closest to me? How come I can't do that? And when we had all this great technology, all this great equipment, all these great algorithms that were flagging to me on a daily basis, I was using software as a project manager to escalate high-risk cases. And I actually won an award for something called a perfect record, which means that you've never lost a patient on your thing. So we were so watchful. We were so watchful. We were able to be that good with not even that much. It wasn't even that. I didn't feel that it was that hard, you know? Why can't we do that for people like my mother? And I realized, I mean, I obsessed about it for, you know, a couple of years. I didn't do much about it. I just kind of thought about it. I kept on thinking about it. And I was lucky that I ended up meeting other people who had similar stories. My CTO, my co-founder, and my VP of client success. They all had their own stories to share. And when we look at, when we look at innovation, we just look at our own personal need and we look at our own deep drive. And every day I think about, you know, how much if we're able, and the technology is almost there. It's almost there, right? That's what kind of powers us. It's almost there. So I think we could do something about it in our lifetime. Why not? Insurance is so interesting because so many people have it, right? And even like, I think PNC is super interesting because you have such good coverage because, you know, home and auto insurance, it's like a need to have, right? So you really get access to people. And the hardest thing about prevention is that people don't start early enough and they don't engage early enough. So once you have, I mean, this is a great channel. It's a great channel for us to do something great in our lifetime. And I think there's so many people on board, and it's a real movement. If you look across, you know, all the stats in all the different continents, people are waking up to proactive approach, and they're really waking up to how we can use data in a way that's, you know, not the Black Mirror scenario where they're, you know, we're creating like 1984 here, but we're really kind of making this assistant type of view, a GPS kind of like experience, where the technology itself is really to help people be better. And the technology itself is a, you know, a silent partner for everyone to educate them and to keep them well and to just be watchful at times where, you know, like a simple algorithm could have helped prevent things like my mother. So innovation for us, I think it's just in our DNA. And I think, you know, if you really think about, believe the future the same way that we all believe the future, I mean, it's coming. I do believe that engagement platforms will be table stakes. I believe that these things is coming. Why don't we do our part to make that real today?
Absolutely. You know, I just thinking about that, you know, I think I sort of see really clearly the vision around, number one, how you all are keeping that that spirit and driving that mindset of innovation, but also the reasoning behind that. And I think that, you know, again, with your want to be able to impact billions of people and to sort of try to help them along the way, I think that's just so commendable. And I think that's so valuable for those in the industry, completely understand your sort of the personalness around your reason that as to why you're engaging and why you're doing what you're doing. I think long term, you know, the value is going to be, to your point, you know, touching billions of people. So I hear that, and I sort of just look at looking towards the future of what's in store for Optimity. You know, just talk to me about the future of your organization and where you're looking to go, let's say in 2 to 5 years.
Yeah, I think the next 2 years we're going to be focused on really working with life carriers and other carriers that really believe in our philosophy of proactive and holistic health. So anyone that usually it's kind of an organization mindset where they believe in holistic health. We impact everything, not from just nutrition and exercise. We do financial wellness, stress management, because those things also contribute to a lot of your hormone levels and different impacts of that too. And research is, you know, needs to catch up on that area as well. So we approach it that way. So next 2 years, I think it's focusing on carriers that have the same mindset and want to kind of get there. And then in 5 years, I think we can go deeper. So the 2 years is really focused on the top of the funnel. The 5 years is really working through the deeper funnel. So this is working on driving outcomes with where, you know, you can use claims as part of that. We're using a lot of unsupervised learning techniques too. So we're doing clustering. This is not only with our recommendation engine. We're doing different things about insights about people. So this is where kind of the network effect, the power of data set as it grows, we can discover new factors and instantaneously be able to utilize these new insights to improve the quality of lives for our members. So that's where I think a lot of more quantitative studies are going to come out. We are already tracking things like claims, because you can do that on a yearly basis. And sometimes when we're lucky, when we work with employers that have that data, we can do that even on a quarterly basis. But I think the longer term is really around longevity and factors. So I mean that's a dream, right? So that's 5 years. I think geographically, we don't really count. We don't really, you know, mind. We already work with Canada, U.S., Pan-Asia, and, you know, people in Europe already are, they've heard of us and they've reached out to us as well. I just think, yeah, I think this is truly like a global village. You know, we're already available in so many languages. We're like, we have English, French, Chinese, Spanish, like there's lots of stuff in here already. So language is really not an issue. I think the underlying part is getting to enough data and enough different types of insights that it will drive one, business value in the short term, and then two, the health value in the longer term.
Absolutely. You know, so Jane, you know, just one of the questions that I always ask is, you know, just to make this tangible to the listeners of this podcast is, you know, if someone listening to you and I speak wanted to go back and do things differently at their desk or within their roles from the status quo, you know, what advice would you give them to embrace that same spirit of innovation that your team exemplifies?
I think for what we're thinking about here, I mean, you can do it in three ways. The first one is, take a look at your own life. Be very selfish. Take a look at your own life. You know, are you taking the proactive approach to health yourself? Because, whether or not, you know, I get to work with you on business, I hope that this is super helpful for all the listeners out there, just to kind of be mindful of where you sit currently and just take a status check. I think that's always helpful for everyone. So that's one, which makes you an active participant, and that's helpful. And then two, in terms of you want to have a bigger impact, if you don't want to, for us too, right? Like we want, as a one person, want to affect as many people as possible. If you want to do that too, think of ways that you can structurally improve the organization. And I think that could be bringing in wellness to your own company. It could be actually leveraging, like explaining the value of it to other people. Is that's kind of being an active champion. So that's kind of level two. And I think level three is really thinking about, can you help add to the community? So that's really kind of being open with your own data, being able to share that. Of course, you're going to get insights back. It's a data exchange, but, taking an open stance on it, being able to kind of get people together to really organize a project around it. I mean, we're lucky to work with the carriers that we do now because those people that we talk to have taken such an active stance, and they're, you know, really doing the level three where they're bringing in the right people and they're introducing us to, you know, all the different executives and being able to, you know, really make that change real. But either way, I mean, whichever level that you do, you're helping the whole group.
So Jane, you know, I do want to say thank you for your time here today, just to talk to me about Optimity, but then also your thoughts around innovation. So if there is anyone that's listening to the two of us speak here today and wanted to learn more about what you or your organization does, or wanted to get in contact with you all, you know, what's the best way for them to do that?
They can email our team. We have a great client success team, and all they want to do is make you successful. So you can email us at engage, so ENGAGE, at myoptimity.com.
Perfect. Well, Jane, once again, thank you. I do appreciate it, and I'm just looking forward to continuing to sort of hear about the successes of Optimity and what you all are doing in the future.
Yeah, and we'll be happy to share a lot of our outcomes. We've been very open sharing our use cases so that other people can benefit as well.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Insurance Innovators Unscripted Podcast. You know, I like to bring so many different viewpoints. So as you're thinking about your innovation and transformation in the organization that you work in, you know, that you can take these perspectives and figure out, you know, how to integrate them into the workflows or just into the flows of what you're doing on a day-to-day basis. So, you know, thanks for listening, and I hope that I'm going to see you next week.